$260,000 has been for some time, and it has been used only a very small portion of the time. That funding has actually been used, I hate to use the term slush fund, as an additional source of funding for advocacy, FCC advocacy, by the telecommunications services component, more than for the actual renting of the occasional use transponder. There's been very little use of the occasional use transponder.
Could you tell me how that works? Is this money supposed to be for a fee charged when the actual time, like a 30-minute program, is beamed out?
Yes, ma'am.
And then they pay the actual time usage?
The time charged for the use of the transponder on that satellite.
Okay, how much is there somewhere an analysis of how much time has actually been bought the last fiscal year on that satellite?
I don't have those figures available, but I'm sure the department has those figures.
Well, I think Senator Ferguson would like to see those figures.
We can keep this open. I don't believe
that. Okay. And Senator Petula, you requested that we keep this open. And can you supply those figures to us tomorrow? We'll meet here at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I could tell you right now what our estimate of how much we need for the occasional use transponder is, $100,000.
Okay. Commissioner, if we could have a hard number and some history of what has actually been used of that money, that'd be most appreciative. Okay, this section is open.
136 and 137. Telecommunication services. We fill the vacancy at a lower step, 24.3, at the department's suggestion. We've reduced moving expenses by 7,000. We're at adjusted base, the figure being 730.0.
No objection. So moved.
So moved. Page 140, 141. Public Broadcast Commission. We've done here, we've reduced the, we take a general reduction, which is $100,000. The method we're using in miscellaneous is taking $100,000 cut from the governor's budget, just allows the License Public Broadcasting Commission to spread cuts around at their own discretion, to take another miscellaneous.
Senator Fisher?
I have a question. We have six employees at $308,000. What do these employees do? I mean, just briefly.
One of them is an engineer, who travels around the state giving assistance to all of the public television and radio stations throughout the state. And I'm sure that maybe a couple are clerical. Other than that, I don't know.
Perhaps you know, Jim?
Additional services they provide are keeping updated with current technology, providing forums for various public stations, assisting to arbitrate problems in various forms. Being assured of the fact that they are operating in the manner which grants the claims they provide are operating within the spirit of quite a number of tasks. Not that I'm familiar with the commission, I won't have a short period of time, but I've had a review. I'm glad to provide you with the specific duties.
I would like to, because if you have an engineer going around as far as the technical matter, it would like to be far cheaper just to purchase those services.
But if you could, I'd let it go back. Yeah, we just have to provide it to me so I can become more than that.
Further questions?
Ma'am, Chairman, I might.
Senator Petula.
Yeah, is this, did you move 7866?
Not yet.
I haven't moved it yet, no.
Okay, on page 141, if I might, with that reduction suggested, which I am supportive of, but I would like to see an intent stating. And I think that is for this year, as near as I can read it now. It notes the grants and claims, 07 grants and claims, one-time items, maintain quality and quantity of local programming, 335, continue Sandpoint repeater, increase rent, electrical. I'd like to see that particular statement as also an intent statement so that they don't remove it from those unnecessary maintenance and services out there from Galena to Seward to Kenai, Soldotna. If in fact that
under
is
the governor's amended analysis under grants and claims?
Yes. Am I reading it right? That's the intent of that grant and claims. And it does exist for this year. I'd like to see that definitely, that not be an area of that suffers the cut suggested by the subcommittee chairman.
Senator Lyson, do you have any problems with the items listed under grants in the 07 column under governor's analysis being reworded into a letter of intent?
I don't have any problem with that.
Any objections?
I'd so move.
So moved.
I might,
Madam
Chair, I might note that I don't think he's going to like this very well, but nevertheless, we have six positions with a range 26 executive director. I think we should have to look at that also. As long as we're looking at the Old Alaska Commission, we should look at the Public
Six positions with what?
20? Range 26 executive director. So I think we tend to get out of balance, even though the man is exceptionally well qualified. I think we're going to have to probably look at that one also. There's no legislative intent on that, but I just call it to your attention.
26, if he's up there, he's probably getting more than a commissioner.
Would you move your number, Senator Lyman?
7866.3.
No objection.
Once again, we can turn the savings into grants.
Well, this is my next favorite page.
We're on page 144, 145, leasing and facilities. Okay, we have a letter of intent. First, what we've done here, we've reduced the overfunding by $2 million. The department suggested cut of 1.150 with reductions in personnel and field offices. Further savings should be realized. They will also need to negotiate harder for space, I believe it says here. Drive a harder bargain. The letter of intent, Madam Chair, reads as follows. It is the intent of the legislature that the leasing and facilities component absorb the $252,700 cost of rental for the Anchorage evaluation unit of the counseling and placement component, Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. It's this letter of intent was proposed by Senator Sackett.
Let Any move. Objections? So moved.
The figure being $37,539,100.
Any objection? So moved.
Page 148. Dealing with employee housing. We also have a letter of intent, which reads as follows. It is the intent of the legislature to eliminate employee housing provided by the state where sufficient alternative housing is available in the private sector in compliance with bargain unit contracts. It is further the intent of the legislature that employee tenants be charged fair market value for housing.
Any objections, Senator Halpern?
Just with regard to the wording, it sounds like it's saying eliminate it unless it's included in the contract, but it doesn't really say that they should, in negotiations, try to in the future, exclude it from the contract. And it just, there may be a word change in there that can change that around. You see what I mean, Dick?
I see, but the department, as I understand it, is working quite hard in that area trying to eliminate public employee housing, I think. As a matter of fact, they have eliminated some and been forced to take it back because of contracts with employees. So this effort is already being exerted.
It might be just better to say in compliance with existing bargaining unit contracts.
I wouldn't
so
have any problem
with that.
It
implies that
you wish
future contracts
might be different.
Yeah.
You wish to amend the letter of intent after the word with on the second line, add existing?
Right. So moved.
So moved. No objections.
The figure being 1464.0.
No objection.
Madam Chair, could we return to...
Public advocacy, page 48.
Public advocacy.
Wasn't listening to the page, Chairperson.
48.
This is what I missed.
We saved it for you. Senator Lyson saved it for you.
Believe it or not, Madam Chair, I am a consumer advocate myself. And maybe not as strong as others, but nevertheless, I think that there needs some protection out there. What we have here, I was going to propose an amendment to the grant section of this component, which deals, this is going to be legislative intent, a grant to the Alaska Consumer Advocacy Program for consumer advocacy on utility rate issues. Now, as you well know, we have a sunset review of Alaska Public Utility Commission, and there are problems not only with the people they regulate, but also problems with the people they're supposed to represent, which are the consumers.
Senator Hoffman.
Madam Chairman, in the Commerce budget, to meet the guidelines, we cut personnel out of the Public Utilities Committee. And if we were going to go back and improve the performance and response, I would like to see it go back into the staff of the Public Utilities Commission. I didn't like to have to make that cut to meet the guidelines.
We're not improving. What we're doing is being eliminated without this proposal.
Senator Lyson, is this letter of intent in the House budget?
I'm not aware if it is or not.
Okay. I object to the letter of intent. I think we're doubling over doubling over doubling, and that really bothers me.
Well, but I agree with this concern, but I just think it's much more efficient to put it back into the commission itself. Particularly when we got a cut of a couple of employees in the commission.
That might be true, but on the other hand, the commission, do they really have time to protect all the consumers' rights? I don't know. I know that...
They're there to protect the consumers, not the industry, I would hope.
They're there to protect the consumers, but, you know, the utilities are the ones that they're dealing with in most instances, and the utilities are the ones that, you know, through their rate structure, can provide numerous dollars to advocate their particular case before the Public Utility Commission. So the question I have is really, are they, in effect, maybe you're right in one sense, is that they would have more people to look out for that particular interest, but on the other hand, there's no guarantee that they will.
Well, the charge of the Public Utilities Commission is to provide an efficient, ongoing, and reliable system at minimum cost to the consumer. And the consumer sometimes disagrees in terms of an immediate rate increase for a future benefit. But I think the commission has done a pretty good job at that, and there's people on both sides. A lot of people think the commission has been too active at that. But we have a separate entity working on the same subject. And if, in fact, we hadn't had to cut the commission itself, I wouldn't feel so strongly about this one, but it's a matter of relative one to the other. I'd rather do both of them, to tell you the truth.
Well, let's, can we hold that open until tomorrow?
Can't we make this decision right now? You want to think about it overnight?
It up. No, it's fine. If we're going to hold part of it open until tomorrow, I'd like to hold this part open.
All right, we'll hold it for tomorrow. I get 10 demerits for Senator Sackett. Any other questions on the Department of Administration? Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, staff, for being here. Senator Lyson, thank you. That was a good job. Senator Ferguson, seeing that everybody's been running around and back and forth and in and out, we will not take a break. We'll just move right on into Hess.
I'd like to sit up here, and the Commissioner Pugh, with whomever you want.
You
got to
go on 3:30, but that'll be a point.
I have an appointment. I'd like to leave at 3:30.
Senator Alford and I also have an appointment at 3:30.
Oh, really?
Are we going to the same place?
Gosh, I don't know. Did you know I was coming?
I hope so. That's going to be
interesting. I didn't know you were.
I'd like to state we've had a very good working relationship with the commissioner, his staff, and employees of the department. And without his help, I don't believe that we could have reached the Senate cap. The original Senate cap is $230,912,000. less salary increases, less state child abuse, which is being carried as a package to be put with a fiscal note, and less transfer of $200,000 to community and regional affairs for the legal services. And the Senate subcommittee has reached the cap. And
congratulations, Senator. That's great.
Yes. And we had a number of add-ons which will come through. I'd like Mike to present the DRUs and the different programs, but I'll move the numbers and the intent.
As you wish.
Page 2, I'll move 47799.0. And with that, I'll let Mike go into it.
There's intent on page 3 that indicates about the department shall come back to the legislature if there's need for supplemental dues. What we did, we took the F485 number plus the supplemental that we know it's in, so that's hard numbers that we know about, and let it go with that.
Any objections to both the number and the letter of intent? Senator Halford, comment?
As long as the department is intending to go forward at the rate the formula requires, then come in with supplemental items.
Senator Halford, the department's been doing this for 3 years now, so the third year we've been following this process, and they've worked real well with it. No objections to moving the number and the letter of intent, so moved.
If there are any questions of the commissioner at any time, please come forward. All right, page 4, general relief, 537. I'll move number 537.0.
No objections.
Adult public assistance, I'll move number 13439.5.
No objections.
On page 10, permanent fund dividend pool harmless. I'll move 3644.3, and with an underlying that this will be funded from the permanent fund.
No objections.
Energy assistance program, I'll move 8127.0.
No objections.
I keep doing that.
Am I going too fast?
Nope, I'm fine. Just grumbling.
Under Medicaid, move the number 66701.5.
No objections.
And here's one area that I need a policy statement from the Finance Committee, catastrophic illness. We have zeroed this out with a letter of intent, and before I move those figures, I'd like Mike to tell us exactly what we did to this program and why we think we can do this.
Yeah, basically, we went back, the department released a letter on March 6th that showed carried forward balances, unexpended balances that total some $3.5 million. The request is $2.3 and no single year have they ever used what was appropriated. And since there's that kind of money left, and that we can extend the lapse dates on it, it seemed reasonable that they should be able to move forward with the funding that was there and provide intent to give some direction to the commission to come back to the legislature with a more adequate pay plan. And we talked it over with the commissioner, and he understands exactly what we're doing.
So, you'll move the letter of intent?
Yes. I'll move the letter of intent and the zero figure.
Any questions? Hearing no objections, so moved. And the zero figure, no objections, so moved.
commissioner seemed to want to participate.
Mr. Chairman?
The way I'm working this is unless one of you specifically requests, no, Commissioner, just a second, specifically requests response from the commissioner, I have just let it go because I feel like this meeting is for the senators and not for commissioners to lobby with their own budget. But Senator Krutula spotted Commissioner Pugh, and if you wish to have him respond, that's your prerogative, sir.
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
General
I spotted several signals from the last commissioner, and if none of you had any questions, I was fine.
I did, too. Here to the back bench.
General, we'd be here all day if we did.
General relief, medical. I'll move with figure 11. Let me start over. 11149.1 and letter of intent.
Hearing no objections on the figure, the letter of intent.
Mike, could you read the letter of intent?
Basically what it is, it's $180,000 shall go for personal care services for chronic and severely physically handicapped, as well as there's a $300,000 included in there to take care of the area that we're dealing with in pharmaceuticals in getting those paid under
Medicaid,
a 50-50 match to save the state $1.4 million.
Any objections to the letter of intent? So moved.
Page 28, administration, move the figure 664.2.
No objections.
Under quality control, move the number 802.0.
So moved.
Under staff development, move the figure 291.2.
So moved.
On page 34, eligibility determination, move the figure 10245.0 and note that we have 5 new temporary positions.
No objections.
Under fraud investigation, move the figure 675.5.
Just a second, I've lost that. Oh, any objections to fraud investigation? So moved.
Under work incentive, move the figure 600.7.
No objections.
Under rural food stamp program, move the figure 147.8 and the letter of intent. Would you read the letter of intent?
That's the 3 remaining positions are funded for 9 months, and they shall not be transferred, reclassified, or funded again. This is a one-time program.
Hearing no objections.
Debt and word processing, move the figure 2622.3.
What page is that?
Page 42.
No objections.
Under rate commission medical, page 46, move the figure 379.1.
No objections.
You know, when we talk about the rate commission, I know they have a job to do in setting rates, but I think they can only set what we give. They must be doing a good job, otherwise I don't think they'd be here. Page 50, central office, move the figure 420.8.
No objections.
Under medical care advisory committee, move the figure 46.6.
I'm lost.
You skipped the page. You skipped the page, right?
Claims processing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Claims processing operation, move the figure 2109.8.
So moved.
On page 54, move the figure 46.6. On page 56, certification and licensing, move the figure 444.5.
No objection.
Homemaker services, page 60, move the figure 383.7. For daycare, move the figure 357.5. Preventive services, move the figure 2689.7. No, 2714.2.
No objection.
With the letter of intent.
No.
And those are quite a few letters of intent. How would you like to move
Let's
on each one?
Let's go one at a time and, move on each one.
Did you read the first?
First one's for $200,000 to the Association for Stranded Rural Alaska.
All right, I have 210 written in my book.
210.
Okay.
$80,000 for the Fairbanks Interagency Child Abuse Task Force. There's an ad there, $20,000. Sum of 42 for Parents United, and that's $42,000. $75,000 for the Juneau Indian Education Corporation for preschool program for $75,000. $24,000 for WICA in Fairbanks. That's $24,000 for life safety upgrades. $120,000 for the Arctic Winter Games, and then $100,000 for the Association of Village Council Presidents for Child Abuse Programs.
Any discussion?
So
who? I'm just curious about the Stranded Rural Alaskans. Who put that in?
It was a statewide request. It was they came to our subcommittee meeting and made the request, and generally speaking, it was acknowledged that should go in, and so it went under statewide add-on, sort of a
sanctuary base for the service.
I know. No objections to the letters of intent?
What about the Arctic Winter Games? That one is interesting. Has that on?
Yeah, Senator Bennett requested that of us, and it's preventive services. It's looked upon as an alternative, some way for the youth to stay out of drugs and alcohol.
No objections. What is everybody looking straight at? Moved.
Adult services, page 66, I'll move the figure 2780.9.
So moved.
Page 68, move the figure
400.8. Why was this decreased? Oh, I see. Carryover fund.
Exactly.
I remove my objection. So moved.
On page 74, South Central Region, move the figure 4052.1.
So moved.
There is an intent with this, too. And why could you read
the intent? Basically says that the child use training is done by existing new staff development personnel central office, and that the social worker 2 position still should remain. It was funded in FY5.
Any objections to the letter of intent? So moved.
Page 76, Northern Region, move the figure 1996.5.
So moved.
Northwestern Region, move the figure 412.9.
So moved.
Western Region, move the figure 894.4.
So moved.
Southeastern Region, move the figure 1441.0.
So moved.
Central Office, move the figures of 1707.5 and
read. Madam Chairman, there is one reduction from the governor's request, and that was a disallowal of the program coordinator transfer.
No objection.
Data and word processing, move figure 255.2.
So moved.
Foster care, page 92, move the figure 6310.5.
So moved. No objections.
Institutional care, move the figure 10836.3.
No objections. Senator Lackey?
Wait, hold just a second, please.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah, thanks.
Social services block grants, move the figure 5401.5.
So moved.
They go to what, two, three communities?
Yeah, that's spread around, and that's just the offset. We had an increase in federal funds, so it's an offset to the general fund.
McLaughlin Youth Center, move the figure 6413.3.
Senator, what's going to happen at NYC? Can they handle that kind of decrease?
From my understanding, they could.
We work closely with the House on this, and all this really represents is the salary decrease.
Okay. Thank you. Figure has been moved. No objection.
Fairbanks Youth Facilities, page 104, move the figure 1439.0. Nome Youth Facilities, page 106, move the figure 949.7.
So moved. No objection.
Johnson Youth Center, page 108, I'll move the figure of 807.0.
So moved.
Probation Administration, move the figure of 3988.9.
No objection.
Eligibility Determination, move the figure of 186.5.
So moved.
Did you skip one? Okay.
What was that?
Did you skip?
Did I skip another one?
No.
Oh, no, no.
Okay,
yeah.
Page 116, Social Services for Manila, move the figure of 1676.0, and you can explain why the increase.
The increase is basically you see the foster care. We increased foster care statewide, and that would just be the sort of proration of that. The social rehabilitation program is somewhat of a restitution center type concept that'll be at the Spirit Camp, about 40 miles northwest of Kotzebue. It'll house about 15 prisoners, misdemeanors and felons who will qualify under the classification system, the correctional system, working with the court system. And it's looked upon as somewhat of an alternative type of program that would allow to ease the pressure on the Kotzebue jail, which is overcrowded now, and they have a capital request in for a new jail, and it would ease the pressure in Nome, and it would keep the prisoners from being shipped out of the region. They would stay closer to home.
I thought the Spirit Camp was for the kids.
It is. We have the camp that operates 10 weeks out of the year, and in fact, the elders of the region have been meeting about once a month for the past 6 months regarding a lot of problems dealing with alcohol and drug abuse, and they see this as a way to get the children, the elders, and people who commit some of these crimes, basically alcohol-related, to get them together in a setting to sort of rebuild that social structure that they think has been torn down by the effects of alcohol and drug abuse.
Yeah, you need an addition on your jail in Cottonwood, I can tell you how to get it.
So get it.
So moved.
Seward.
I'm gonna do it. Haven't given up, have
you? Oh, I know you haven't.
I'm gathering my votes slowly, one at a time.
Here's health.
Little jail here, little jail there.
Health services, page 118, 850.4.
No objection. Is this, excuse me, Senator, this on page 119, this emergency patient travel, is that in response to the letter from the, one of the shelters up there that someone was in trouble and they needed medical attention and there was just no transportation funds anywhere at all to send that person to proper medical care?
Right. It's been a problem for 2 years.
Okay, page 120, alcohol and drug abuse services. Move the figure 700.7.
So moved.
Mental health, DD services, page 122. Move the figure 278.1.
No objection.
Senior center, move the figure of 972.8, page 124.
That increase is a narrow set. That's zero net. It was saved from the federal funds and the eligibility determination. And it was transferred. So those zero net and that increase.
No objections. Okay, why don't we stop it right here? Because it's almost 3:30. We've been going. It's been Senator Ferguson. This looks really great. We're exactly halfway through. Senator Jackson will start with you in the morning at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Commissioner, 10 o'clock in the morning. And thank you all very much.
We'll continue with the Health and Social Services budget this morning, then go on to public safety, and then to the legislature. Then we'll go into the reopens of going back into our specific budgets to bring down the caps further that we had talked about previously, and then go back to the specific pages to reopens. And each one of you should have a listing of all of those that have been identified by the staff. Reopened and then open pages. If you don't, we'll distribute those along. That would be quite a process because to reopen, for example, I've got to go back to law and other people have to go back to specific departments. And then we have the open pages that we've got questions on. Those have been identified. They will go through that whole list. And then I think what we'll do is we've distributed the front section of the budget bill. And what I'd like then is just for everybody to take that, review it, and then look at your appropriation levels within each one of your departments and any additional intents. We do not have a vehicle, as you know, for the budget bill before us at the present time, so we'd have to wait until the House sent it over. So we'll take the weekend to review that and then work with the House and determine when they're going to send it over and then send back what we have at that point in time.
Senator Ferguson, you have passed.
Mr. Chairman, we're on page 128. I'd move the number 453.2 with the letter of intent, and I'd like Mike to read the letter of intent. It's the intent of the legislature that the funding for the Nome Community Center and the Nome Mexico Community are passed through grants to Norton Shaw Health Corporation.
Is there any objection? Without objection.
Health services, I'll move to number 1299.1.
Proceed.
Alcoholism and drug abuse, I'll move to number 629.0.
Objection.
Mental health, I'll move to number 295.5.
Okay.
On sanitation, 257.7. Okay. Moving number 470.1.
Okay.
On page 144, Social Services, move the figure 184.0. Mr. Chairman, I'd like for Mike to explain a little bit about this BRU.
Go ahead, Mike.
Mr. Chairman, this is a new BRU, Contract Services for Canada Chiefs Conference. The conference worked with the department and our offices to come up with these numbers, and these are basically just transfers out from the appropriate areas in the budget to provide social services throughout their service area.
Mr. Chairman, page 146, moving number 367.9. See? Page 148, moving number 284.4. Page 150, move the number 249.0.
Objection.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the number 250.6.
Excuse me, I have a question on the mental health services, and it has nothing to do with the Canada Chiefs Conference, but you are transferring money in for chronically mentally ill of $24,000. What's going to be done with that money? What do you determine is chronically mentally ill?
Right. Mr. Chairman, that's an existing program. That's a straight transfer. It's the amount that they had received last year, and it's basically to work in coordination with their other mental health programs that they have. And it's not for beds or things of that nature, but it's, as I understand it, program evaluation and referrals and that type of thing. But that's the exact amount that they received last year from the council.
Oh. They're not trying to treat psychotics.
Not necessarily, no.
Well, what do you mean, not necessarily?
Well, not with
this is, I know.
Commissioner, are they treating or not?
Yes, they are. They have a mental health program in both the area dealing with acute people in the rural areas, as well as those individuals who have chronic lifelong mental health disease. And this 24,000 works with that group. And we have grants now for. For chronically mentally ill in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Nome area, as well as the Panama Chiefs at this point in time.
Commissioner, psychotics or neurotics are you talking about?
Psychotics.
What are they doing with psychotics out there? Well, or anywhere for that matter, besides ACI?
They're maintaining them in the community, both on drugs, in order so that they do not have to be hospitalized, and then also with getting housing situations in which they can be somewhat. Watched or supervised, and that's what we're trying to do statewide with chronically mentally ill, so we don't have to use the expensive hospital care model.
Okay, but is it a caretaker facility or is it a treatment? Are you just containing psychotics with drugs and keeping them doped up all day just so that they'll be good and behave themselves? Or is
no, there are some treatment services, although we're trying to expand that. That's the whole area Senator Behrenkamp. Bill last year, Senate Bill 520, which was to attempt to get a comprehensive center in Fairbanks, which would provide more vocational kinds of treatment as well as day treatment programs. The programs are pretty minimal at this point. We only had $600,000 in the budget last year, and as I said, most of the programs are for housing and maintaining individuals on drugs. We are working on developing day treatment programs and other kinds of programs that will make for more productive lives for those individuals, but it's still better to have them out at the hospital than to have them maintained in API on an ongoing basis, which is what was happening with individuals prior to development of this program.
It just still would bother me if people are just being warehoused and doped up all day. Just that bothers me.
They're not just being warehoused, but like I said, I think there does need to be further development of programs. We do have some programming.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, proceed. Mr. Chairman, I move number 250.0 on page 154. This is another BRU that was set up for Southeast Alaska. Clinton had a nonprofit group.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Alford?
This one doesn't show a transfer. This one's a new one.
Right. This is new money.
Is this part of the add-on?
Yes,
right. I'm going to approach that the add-on sheet.
Mr. Chairman, page 158, I'd move the figure 2175.0 plus the letter of intent, and I'd like Mike to read the letter of intent.
Mr. Chairman, this is an intent that we had received with Senator Bates' office, basically saying that I think the key point is that they should continue what they're doing in certain areas, but that no more than 5% shall be taken out as the admin cost by the municipality. And to make clear, too, that the differences between this year's number and last year's is the switching from the calendar year to the fiscal year between the state and municipality, sort of the municipality going with the state's fiscal year instead of the calendar.
Okay, a motion has been made. Senator Page?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased that the subcommittee put this letter of intent in. If it were mine personally, I would have it more on the medical model than on the social model. I understand the compromise that had to be made. What I'm hoping the municipality will do is take care of those folks that are truly, truly in need and have a mental or physical hardship approaching death before they spread this money out to wants that they stress need. And that's the focus of the letter of intent.
Is there an objection? Without objection, the amount and the letter of intent will be included.
Rich, get richer.
Page
161.
Law grants.
Mr. Chairman, I've moved the figure of 381.3 law grant for Fairbanks Social Service.
With the letter of intent?
No, there's no.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mistake, Mr. Chairman.
There is no letter of intent?
No.
Okay. Without objection?
Mr. Chairman, I've moved the. For nursing, the figure of 8222.6.
And disease control, I'm moving the number 2465.2. Yeah, I have a question there also under contract
right.
Commodities. Could you explain the vaccines to private physicians of $200,000?
Mr. Chairman, that was the money last year that was taken out at the suggestion of Dr. Rabeau. There was some concern this year. Again, it was expressed last year that apparently it's proven true that parents who see private physicians are not taking their children in right away for the inoculations. Those say before they get into school, I'll say 1 through 5, and it was a request to us by a House member in Senator Fakes' district seeking that addition, and talking with him, and he was working with the department, came up with a $200,000 figure, and the Giardia, that's a beaver fever down in Ketchikan. That's vaccines for beaver fever.
Senator Fakes?
I just want the committee to know I had nothing to do with this. House member or no?
Senator Fakes, $200,000.
It is not.
Right.
I protest.
Okay, explain this again. Because parents are not bringing their kids in.
Yeah, see, parents.
We're paying.
Yeah, see, before the private physicians, we get these vaccines from the state. Apparently at no charge, but as a cost-saving measure last year, Dr. Rabeau had suggested moving this out and just having the private physicians refer those people to the public health clinics that have the vaccines. As it turns out, the parents, although they're being referred, aren't necessarily going, so the children ages, babies through 5, aren't getting the vaccines. That's the concern.
Well, so what? That's the parents' responsibility, not the state.
I'm the one that deleted it. Let's not blame it on the memory of Dr. Rabeau. I'm the victim. I'm the guilty party.
Because parents aren't responsible, we have to now pay physicians $200,000?
Senator, what you get here is you get a certain class, the middle class, that won't go to the public health doctor, but then for
well, then let them pay,
needs,
then. They can afford to pay.
Precisely. They think it's an embarrassment to go, which is ridiculous.
What's happening with the cost of vaccines?
This is the amount the department recommended. They might be able to talk about
Commissioner?
The cost.
Yes, this is the actual cost of vaccine to provide it to all private physicians throughout the state. We presently immunize the largest majority of people through our public health clinics, and we do have funding in our public health clinics to provide that service. Prior to, it's actually 2 years ago when we were removing the budget, we have provided at that point in time, it was $100,000 worth of vaccine to private physicians throughout the state. It was removed as a cost-saving measure, and at this point in time, the vaccines have climbed significantly in terms of cost because of the number of libel suits resulting from certain vaccines. And this is just merely simply the cost to go back to providing that program, which is to give immunization vaccines to all private physicians in the state who are doing immunization.
Was there an identical reduction in the other BRU?
No, that's not correct, because we would still be providing for the numbers that we have. This is an area where people are paying for it and themselves at this point in time. Senator Ferguson's office has indicated there is some concern that individuals may not get the immunization because they have to pay for it. But at this point in time, individuals are required to pay for it themselves for a private physician. So this is just...
No, at this point in time, they can go to a public health facility and get it at no cost.
They can if they want. It's open. And it just, or they can go to their doctor and pay for it themselves. That's the present practice.
Senator.
Unless someone believes that we're going to discontinue the state public health service, which I can't imagine how we would. It should be one of the last components of social service provided. Unless we believe that, let me tell you what's going to happen. As the medical profession gets more and more of this responsibility, they're going to come in and lobby and say that they're competing with free enterprise over there in the public health sector and take this on under that guise. I think we ought to leave it in the public health sector, just like my extremely conservative friend over here thought last year.
Senator Alford?
Do we know that the savings is actually passed on to the recipient of the vaccine, or at least most of it is?
It is passed on. Prior to the removal 2 years ago, the doctors were only charging a fee for the actual giving of the shots. There was no charge for the vaccine. The vaccine was totally free across the state.
If we expect to have people go back to public health to get it, I don't know what the cost of providing that is, but it may be that it's cheaper for us to pay for the vaccine to the doctors than to pay for the vaccine and the administration through public health and have people go to public health.
Public health's already set up. We have to add.
Do you honestly believe that?
I don't know.
Have you looked into that, Commissioner?
No, I haven't. We have not put any new positions on to do this, and we have been doing it for 2 years now in the system that presently exists. And I personally can't attest that there has been individuals who have not gotten immunized due to the fact that the vaccine is not provided free. In fact, we did immunization studies around the state of children in schools, and we found about 95% compliance. We just finished that about a month ago, 95% compliance statewide for school immunizations, which I think is a pretty good compliance record in a state like Alaska. So I can't give you any indication that we have a serious problem of individuals not being immunized. It's a 5% at the moment, like I say, in our own state.
Who added this on?
Children, 5%.
I'll move to delay $200,000.
I'll second.
Without objection, it's deleted. I need that. Maneuvering room anyway, two times.
Plus, Candace needed added to her.
Oh, don't you keep blaming on Jan. I about died when I saw
page 170.
Mr. Chairman, Family Health, I'll move the figure 7457.8.
Okay.
Lab services, I'll move the figure 2156.7.
Without objection.
Mr. Chairman, on administrative services, page 174, I'll move the figure 1762.6 plus a letter of intent. Mike, should be written a letter of intent.
Simply directs the Division of Public Health to come up with a public health management plan that the director of the Division of Public Health not be paid more than the commissioner of the department.
Without objection.
Is that your letter?
Page 176. Mr. Chairman, I move figure 635.1 And I'd like Mike to explain a little bit about this, because this partially due to a bill that we passed last year.
Mr. Chairman, basically this is to keep the contractual line item as the governor had recommended. It did ask for a new position or creation of a position out of the monies that were funded on the fiscal note last year. And when we talked with the court system about transfer, they said they had existing staff that just made it part of their function, didn't necessarily need one full-time position to run the program. And it may be the department's regulations may be a bit cumbersome to the point they need to have additional personnel, but that certainly wasn't the intent as we saw it. So.
Very good.
Without objection, 635.1. Mr. Chairman, I move figure 1093.8 for Potter's fee.
Without objection. 80.8.
Data processing, I'll move figure 80.8.
Without objection.
Okay, infant learning. Page 184, I'll move figure 2641.9.
I have a question. What was the difference here and the reason?
The basic reason is there's several increments that they weren't so requested, and we simply took the first increment. We felt there was sort of an exceptional need. The governor's council on the handicap had spoken with us a few times, given us reams of information and statistics, and just felt this was an area that had been underfunded for the need, especially in the rural areas, was not being addressed on.
Is this the one that we had last year, or they had seven different increments?
No, that's DD.
DD, okay. Is there an objection? Without objection. Mr. Chairman, I move figure 3876.5 with a letter of intent for community health grants. A letter of intent.
Several letters, Mr. Chairman. Galena for 46.8 for their clinic. Yeah, that's no new money. That's simply intent. The Anchorage, the daycare respite, it's a couple of transfers back, plus $23,000. The CHIVAC clinic is existing money, no new money. The Kodiak area, CANA, for their itinerant healthcare team, that's no new money. $23,000 for APIA is new money, $23.4 for their health clinics. Health services in Anchorage, it's existing money except for $57,200. For their health services, and $83,000 for the Y&K Health Corporation is no new money.
Senator Face and Senator Couture.
What is on the Anchorage Health Services, the $57,000? Why is that new money? What's going on there?
The governor disallowed the, it started at $834,000. The governor disallowed the inflationary increase of $34,000, and there was a requested need to get back up to the level of 996.3, which basically is the funding level from the previous year in Senator Halford.
It's the 83 level.
This is the 83 level?
I just have one question on here.
Senator Curtillo?
What does the block grants do for $2.5 million? If we got to put another $1 million in here, and it's another $500,000 other area. It's a fair question, at least, when I'm getting hell raised with things for my district. I mean, we've got $2.5 million block grants. We've got $500,000 for the handicapped daycare. We've got $1 million here. I can see $4 million right there in those three categories that other areas aren't getting. Certainly my district, which has more than 10% of Anchorage's population. I'm just curious. I mean, that's fine. We've all got the juice. We've got the power to do it. The numbers game is here, but I want to bring it to your attention. It isn't lost on me that that's a fact of life. When you get a block grant for doing something, and you're back in for doing it. What's going on? And I have some right to ask.
The total funding has reduced in combination from 83 forward more than bringing this program back to 83 level. I can provide you with a list of everything that came out of the block grant
and you'll find that a lot of the block grant services are services otherwise provided by direct grants by the state. I think you'll also find that if you look at the overall budget for Anchorage Health and Social Services, you find that Anchorage is one of the few communities in the state that uses local tax base to provide health and social services services to provide service to people from your district and all over the state.
The municipality of Anchorage provides public health nurse services because it has health powers. If the municipality wasn't doing all of that, the state would. So right now, the state doesn't have to do anything for the Anchorage population because the municipality has those health powers and are picking up services that the state normally would pick up, Jay.
Under revenue sharing municipal assistance, do you get additional funds for doing that?
No.
Well, you understand when it comes to health, I'm not going to oppose it politically. I don't have the juice to anyway. But still, it just occurred to me when I saw $4 million come floating by in special services to one town, bang, 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 on about four pages, that, yeah, what is a fairness doctrine?
Well, when you're sitting there with almost half the population, I don't think the $4 million is excessive. But what we did, and I'm speaking as a conservative here, what we did when we put in that block grant is we eliminated reams of individual direct grants to organizations and them spending public money to come down here and lobby for more public money. And so what we did is we block granted an amount of money to Anchorage. They say they have $6 million worth of needs. They had $6 million worth of requests last year, so we're giving them $2.5 million, and I support what the subcommittee did on that, by the way. But what we prevented then is these groups coming down here and harassing all of us for their individual piece of the budget and saving, I think, in the long run, that lobbying money by doing that. We've also saved more groups getting on the bandwagon and coming down here. They all do it now at home. So for the Anchorage legislators, we saved ourselves a lot of grief. I think the need's there, but I think as long as we keep the money in a conservative amount and we keep a letter of intent that restricts how that municipality can spend that money, then it's going to people that truly have a need and they're not just splashing it around to the Girl Scouts, because that's what they used to do. And so I think there's two things that are happening here. The block grant and that strict letter of intent has solved an abusive problem.
My experience with real liberal in the areas that we have experience in and conservative in the areas that we don't. That's just one of these situations. Well, I withdraw my
comment. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fisher.
Just for my information, if people get grants to the state, isn't there a clause that they may not use that money to lobby for more money as part of the grant commission?
I have tried for 2 years to get the bill passed to do that, and it failed in the conservative house last year on the floor twice. So no, they can use public money to lobby for more public money.
It's not only the ones that are getting grants either. Look at the closeouts here for every department. And you look in the audience and you see all the travel people that have come down from Anchorage and Fairbanks just for the closeouts, even though we haven't even requested but one person, which would be the commissioner. That's just wasted money. Without objection.
Mr. Chairman, page 188, I'll move figure 1843.4, plus the letter of intent.
What page is
that? Letter of intent. Page 188.
So, Mr. Chairman, the letters of intent are no new money except for the $123,500 for the interior region EMS, the rest are existing money.
Okay. Alcohol, drug abuse?
Mr. Chairman, I move the figure 1381.8.
Without objection.
How much was that? What page?
Page 192.
Okay, I'm a page ahead, thank you.
Page 194, I'll move the figure 2082.0.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move on page 196, the figure 11985.2,
with 11 and 10. We ought to raise the taxes right for some of those things.
We just did last year, didn't we? Or did it fail?
Yeah.
We just did last year.
Should we really break it out?
We raised them. It wasn't that significant. It didn't equal the amount.
Senator? Mike?
Mr. Chairman, the all of them are for new money except for the $80,000, which is no new money. There is additional money, $92,000, for the Bethel program, which there's no intent.
Okay, is there an objection? Without objection.
Data processing, move figure 56.1. Okay. Mr. Chairman, on page 202, community mental health grants, they'll move the figure 7583.6 with the letter of intent.
Mr. Chairman, the intents, you have 150,000. There, 19.2 of that is an add-on. Of the 147,000, and next one for Baranoff, 41.1 is additional. The 69,000 is no new money. The 35,000 is new money. The 54,001 is no cap money. 250,000 or 450 is new money, and we have $50,000. It's not in there. Senator Fisher brought to our attention that it's Senator Paul Fisher. It's the intent of the legislature that $50,000 from within this component be granted to the Central Peninsula Community Mental Health Association to contract with experienced sheltered workshop administrators to develop a comprehensive $50,000. And then there's additional 27.8 and 33.6, excuse me, for Canada and Fort Yukon that were transferred out to their contract services, BRU, of new money that was transferred out.
Okay. The 450,000 is existing?
200,000 of it is 250,000 of its new money.
Senator Page?
Is this Ramona Barnes?
Yes.
Whose request was it?
Former Representative Barnes, Mo Barnes, came forward with the director of the program to the subcommittee. We charged it against Senator Fakes. only because we had the concurrence of her staff.
Who is very much in trouble and has been so for 2 days.
Thank God for that staffer. That moment of liberalism.
Senator Fakes?
Mr. Chairman, I don't begrudge these folks this money at all, and I don't begrudge that it's not needed, but what we have here is a problem, that we have an agency who can't say no, who have continually served people when they knew darn well they didn't have the money to serve them. We have a board of directors that has as much discipline as we do. And what we're doing here is we're feeding their habit of letting every single person who walks in the door be served when they don't have the money, thinking that they're going to come down here, sing their sad tale, and bail them out. And eventually, these folks are going to have to get some discipline.
But the other side of the problem is that every time we put more money into enforcement, investigation, or anything to do with child abuse, neglect, or anything else, we're holding out a promise to a kid that comes forward and says something that they're going to get help. And if we go through all the legal things, and that kid sits for 45 days in line somewhere before they talk to a professional, they're probably better off never to have said a word, because they've got more damage because they haven't got help for the victim, and that's what we're supposed to be helping. So they've got a problem. The reason they can't turn things down is partly our problem for keeping adding more people sent to it. I don't know what the answer is.
It just goes in a circle.
That's right.
It stops if you don't have money.
But it bothers me that there are board of directors out there that they have to understand what they're doing, that they have to take some fiscal responsibility as well as an emotional responsibility. And when you're a board of director of a nonprofit organization, you're going to have both. You just can't be out there being a do-gooder all the time. That there is some financial responsibility in being a board member. And I'm afraid this particular group doesn't have a whole lot of discipline. And whether it's our fault or not, they're not helping us either by precipitating this spiral.
It's going to be a huge lawsuit, too, in mental health.
Anybody remember how this came about? You remember we had the State Division of Mental Health,
and we had two small units, one in Juneau, I think, and one in Fairbanks. Plus, we had the regional centers, mental health centers, under the state division. And the feeling was that the state wasn't doing it well enough and that the communities could do it through the mental health program. So, theoretically, we were supposed to reduce the state-operated budget and transfer the monies over to these mental health centers, community mental health centers. But I'm not sure, Commissioner, I haven't even looked at your division in terms of mental health. How has, in terms of the state requirements and responsibilities, functions through your division, how has that budget been going, up or down, sideways?
Oh, it's been reduced. The only state positions we have left in community mental health are three, what are called regional managers, which to monitor the programs, and two clerks, and that's it, and the regional budgets, and then we still have API and Harborview. So that budget has not grown in 10, 12 years. Basically, the same positions are there that were there when the program was started, but the mental health grants have tripled or quadrupled over that period of time.
I know. What is your feeling with regard to the grants as an administrator?
Well, I think the grants provide a lot more local control. The one area that I think has not happened that was envisioned by the legislature was a participation of the local communities. That originally in the federal law as well as in the state law, there was supposed to be by the state giving sort of incentive grants to local communities, they would gradually also begin to participate. We hope for, you know, maybe a 50-50 kind of participation. A good example in Anchorage is that this has been spun off from the Anchorage municipality totally, and there is basically no participation left from the municipality of Anchorage and the Anchorage Mental Health Center. It's just a private nonprofit counseling agency. So if you look at what was envisioned by the legislation, I think there's a certain amount of failure to that. But I also feel that having the amount of revenue that we had for a while, there wasn't an incentive. And I think with declining revenue, there's going to have to be an incentive for local governments to begin to participate in these programs. We need that participation, both from a volunteer standpoint, which we have somewhat, but also from a financial
Yeah, that doesn't get back to Senator Fink's problem, which is the same problem I have, and that's how you monitor and at least look at these different grants and determine whether the level of funding is adequate and fair throughout the state and things of that sort.
Well, now, we are doing, one of the things that we're doing right now is we have a study internal to the department of looking at the allocation to the mental health centers around the state, look at both population, the geographic area, things like that, what things for travel for a very rural area, those kinds of things. And the board is trying to come up with an allocation formula that will show what each community is getting and whether, in fact, they're getting more than their share of the dollars in mental health. And that should, you know, we're hopeful that will be done in the next few months. But again, mental health, in Alaska, we rank still pretty low nationally in terms of dollars that we're putting in. So I think there is some legitimate argument for mental health centers that overall the state has not contributed as much as some other states. We probably rank in the bottom 10 states as far as contributions to our mental health program.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Alford? Fisher.
You said you could probably rank on the bottom of dollars. How about per capita?
Well, I think per capita, we're probably a little higher, just like we are in education. We rank lower in the sense of percentage of state budget that goes to mental health is where we're at. I think if you look at per capita, we're probably up closer to the top, just as we are with education and any other. But the percentage of the overall state budget is very low.
Senator Pinkston.
There's not a whole lot of constituency out there. It's not a very showy thing to come lobby for mental health dollars. And so it's understandable that we'd be the highest state in the nation in arts grants and one of the top 10 down in mental health grants. I mean, we go for the show around here, right? And I think for communities to have to take on their responsibility to help these folks with mental health grants, we're going to have to push them a little bit to do that because there's not a constituency that's going to go to the assembly meetings or the council meetings and plead for mental health dollars.
Chair,
I
need you to come here.
Sure.
Senator Halford.
But I think we should ask the commissioner, if we're looking at local governments to take this over, I hope we're not just looking at Anchorage, because the numbers that I get show that Anchorage gets about 20% of the total statewide effort in mental health, or less, and is a service center for an awful lot of other areas.
That's taken into consideration the other block grants. You've counted
the whole thing.
Have you included API?
Yeah.
You get half of the state grant.
No, I didn't include API.
I just thought I'd mention
it. If you would like to have API in home, you can have API.
If you did the donut district a little bit more artfully, you might be able to get API.
There are some that think I have API.
Mr. Chairman, he goes there to campaign for you.
Senator Ferguson.
I'd like to ask the commissioner, I'm sorry I hadn't asked this before, but how are we doing it in the lawsuit?
That's the one that worries me.
Mental health lands.
The mental health lands lawsuit, the executive branch, the governor, has made an offer for a negotiated settlement to the plaintiffs, and they're working through that settlement offer right now. It still looks like it's probably a year away from when they'll be able to finalize that, mainly because the inventory by natural resources of the lands, of the mental health lands, is, I guess it's somewhat completed, but there's a lot of dispute about which lands are mental health lands. There's going to be dispute about the assessment of those lands, and it looks like probably another year, maybe 15 months before that will be settled. So the negotiation basically has been, rather than give the plaintiffs actual dollars to develop a scheme of a revenue stream to come up with what the assessment of the lands are worth, to look at that and then come up with some kind of way in which you would look at a percentage of what that assessed value would be. Let's say if you had it in some investment, it would be 10%, and you would say that 10% of that money is available each year for the legislature to appropriate funds for mental health. Whether the plaintiffs will buy off on that kind of a settlement, we don't know. But that prevents us having to go into any kind of situation where we have to set aside the actual dollar value of those mental health plans.
Senator Curtula?
I talked to one of the lawyers, and I do have a history and background and a knowledge of this area. When the decisions were made, I was on the committee that made them. That lawyer says the minute the session's over, they're going to attach a permanent fund and every other thing that we've got in this state. It's a pretty violent statement. But frankly, there was a long history of this state supporting a tremendous amount of mental health, percentage-wise, as a result of accepting API. And I'm one of the few people around here, any place, maybe the only one, that has personal knowledge of all that arrangement. Goes back 23 years ago now. And I don't think that they were treated badly. I think the state has a position here. But there is no knowledge anymore left of those arrangements and agreements. I just want to throw that out, that you're going to have some real violence here in a very short period of time when this session's out on this whole thing from what the lawyer tells you. Are they going to get right with it? Attach everything around for that 1 million acres. Just
Commissioner,
it's a nightmare.
What is the
yes? Do that.
Not total liability, but what do we have at stake here?
You have to pay to
support. Some of the preliminary, the early preliminary things that are coming out of natural resources were in the neighborhood that it could run as high as $2 billion that the land was worth. I think initial assessments are coming in lower than that, somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 billion. But again, as I said, those are preliminary, and they haven't finalized. There'll be a lot of legal arguments about what various land is worth. There's certainly a lot of the land is right in the middle of some of our most popular municipalities. Anchored. The UAJ campus is on mental health land here on Rock Lake. The land that they had was pretty was selected well. And it was some of it is a lot higher value, I think, than what natural resources is coming up with at this point. So I think there will be some real discussions about that. I'd say between $1 billion and $2 billion.
I suppose the lawyers will get a percentage of that.
Well, I think that's part of the reason that the executive branch has made a strong the last couple of months a strong stance to try to negotiate, because I think that if that, if we could come up with a negotiation scheme, if we did not deal with the basically $1 billion or $2 billion that dealt with the revenue stream that was available for appropriation, it would make a lot more sense, because there would be no attempt to deal with any of the other funds that are already out there. And I think that sort of is Representative Pignalberry and Pignalberry in the House.
Pignalberry
has made some attempt at with a bill trying to indicate that it feels like people like to look at negotiated settlement in this area. So you don't get into the kind of thing that Senator deals on.
Interesting history on that, especially when we passed the legislation about 5-6 years ago having to do with giving man to the lands to municipalities. And the legislators working on that now, or now the attorney's working on it.
Mr. Chairman.
Mental health, go ahead.
I'm going to change the numbers that I
have in mind, not on my
before, and I move the figure 7692.6.
That's the numbers I had.
Plus the letter of intent. Mr. Chairman, on page 206, community grants, I'll move the figure 8432.9 with the letter of intent and nitrogen.
The first one for 100,000, the Fairbanks, 20,000 of that is an add-on. The 79,000 for child is money that's been there before, but it's an add-on since it was backed out from the request level. Same is true for the next one at 32,000. And then we have the 168,000 that's there. We have an addition basically of 200,000 for underfunding. We took the first two increments and then transferred money over to Medicaid to get a 2-for-1 match on the intermediate care facilities.
I'm sorry, I missed out. Who's Child Inc.?
Child Inc. is in Juneau as well as Reach for both in Juneau.
And the last one, you said is existing in there?
This is it's in the same boat as the others. Senator Fakes had asked for the intent on that. Basically, what we did, we took the first two increments plus 200,000 underfunding, transferred 417 over for ICF and Medicaid to get a 2-for-1 match.
Okay. Another add-on. Is there any objection to the intent? Without objection? And the dollar amount. Okay, institutions.
Mr. Chairman, on page 210, I'd move the figure 1308.8.
Senator Halpern.
There's a question that I just got real late on travel in that area. It went from 55 to 73 to 119 adjusted base. And I hadn't asked the question before, but how did it get so high so fast?
This working out?
Okay. Page 210. Mental Health Administration. Travel went from 55 and 84 to 73 and 85 to 119 adjusted base.
We just took it back to adjusted base. We couldn't justify the increase.
Well, how could we justify the increase from 73 to 119 in the adjusted base?
I think the department should have it.
Senator Alford, that's a transfer in from another section. Basically, we had a bill, the new Mental Health Commitment Act a couple of years ago, and had a fiscal note with it because we were responsible under that act to, whenever a trooper or a mental health individual in any community throughout the state determines that they want to commit somebody for API, the department is responsible for the travel from that community to get API back to that community. Those dollars were in our admin component. We had transferred into API itself to cover the travel for those individuals.
It's in the analysis.
But, well, the complaint was that there was an awful lot of travel going on by the director, and I don't know if that's,
You get the message?
That would not be out of this budget. This is patient travel for, in that
area. Well, where's his travel?
It's in the admin component.
That's mental health.
Regional administration, you mean? We're in admin now.
Oh, I'm sorry. It would come out of there.
Do you get the message?
API?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman,
I think you moved that figure, Frank. 1308.8.
Yeah. I'll move that figure, but I need to move the deletion of one position.
I'm sorry, on page 213?
210. I understand.
It should be 17 positions instead of 18 authorized. There was a deletion there. Okay. And there is an add-on of 15,000 for the WCHE program, which we don't have in temp for. That's for interns at API, requested by Center for Surgery.
Okay, Amy.
That's not included in your 174?
No, it's in there. We just didn't put in 10.
Oh, you want intent in it?
No, I'm just pointing out.
Oh, you're just pointing out. Okay. Senator Page?
What is this interns at API through WCHE?
You need to talk to Senator Sturgis because she's really detailed about it. What they explained us last year was intent for money that was put in. And this is for basically interns at API, and she thinks it's a valuable program. Sent us the backup on it.
The kids going to college coming up there and doing some internship work under WCHE or what?
Well, I don't want to take credit for what the department does. I should.
Commissioner? It is medical interns that come up and work actually in API.
If you want.
They do a clerkship there 6 weeks. Good.
We don't provide that in the original appropriation for WCHE.
Can we do it last year, too?
This is where it has been funded for a number of years. I don't know the history of that. It's been funded in here, I think, about 4 years now. I don't know if it came from the WCHE appropriation originally and was placed in here. But
that doesn't make much sense. Because usually when you have an educational program, it goes in education.
Oh, secondary would handle it normally, wouldn't it?
Should.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator.
To take care of some concern. Mr. Chairman.
He has gone.
Sorry.
Senator.
Well. I would move that we reduce travel from 119.1 to 100 even. That's still an increase over last year of over 25%.
Mr. Chairman, I concur with the Senator Halpin's motion.
It would change the total figure to 1288.9.
Any objection? Without objection. And travel would be at 100.
Program budget if you want to make it travel.
Okay, API 13,700,000.
Mr. Chairman, I move the figure 13730.9 with the letter of intent.
The letter of intent, Mr. Chairman, is to working with the department, they figure they bring in between 1.3 million in receipts. This is intent that was worked on the department, so the House side has line consent, and it's to get API to aggressively pursue program receipts as a replacement for general fund. And that the head of API shall be in the PX, and that was requested by the department.
Senator Page?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know from the department the status of the children's unit, the children's wing, and then the forensic unit also, and what's going on there. It scares me that all those folks are in that one building all together.
Go ahead.
The plans of the department, now that the forensic unit sort of has died in this legislative session, is to add, to do some more security measures at API. We're doing a study right now about whether we can combine the two security units and be able to put a secure, an extra secure post there at the center of the point where the two units could combine. We also are putting in this summer, we already planned to put in security windows throughout the entire institution and an alarm system, a security alarm system for those units. Our plans would be at this point, since we're not going to build a children's facility, to also build a separate entrance for the children so that we do not have to necessarily move the children in and out of the adult facility and mix the two populations. So we feel that we can make those modifications, and at least for the short run, that will handle that population.
Uh, Commissioner, do you still have to lock the entire facility, all the internal doors, when you're moving the criminally insane, like to the gymnasium?
That's correct.
So the whole institution has to lock down when you move those people into the gymnasium. You open up everything, you lock it down again when you move those people back to their...
One of the areas we are looking at in terms of the security is whether we could actually build a walkway from the back of the secure unit to the gym. So that's one of the things that we've asked in our architectural study for looking. We're going to keep the forensic unit there. If we could do that, then that would we would not have to lock the entire facility down. We would have a secure walkway from the that unit to the gym. So that's, at the moment, we're in the process of having the study done. We've already gone out for a bid on the study in the last couple of weeks. We're hopeful that we can do that next year.
Senator Fakes and Senator Curtula.
Commissioner, where are, what portion of the hospital is the forensic unit in? What wing is it in? I'm familiar with the hospital. You just tell me the wing?
The wing.
Or the floor number? Or?
I think it is on the second floor, I think, on the, what you call the west, it's the west wing, the west side. But the problem is that the security units have grown separately. We also have a second secure wing on the east side, and that's been a problem. We have two separate security sections, because originally we had the forensic population, and then later the correctional transfers were added into that. So we basically have 40 secure beds at API at the moment for the forensic population. What we think would be more effective, and we're going to keep them there, and more efficient, is to have those populations not mixed, but at least side by side, probably in the west wing there. And if we can do that without a lot of capital cost, we will probably move in that direction next year. It would save us some security staff. It would also save us, rather than having two security systems, have a single security system. And we could then, as I said, possibly look at putting a walkway in for movement of those individuals to the gymnasium.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Senator Petula?
What are the numbers of the quick I could find out of the criminally insane?
Criminally insane, we're running 20 on that unit right now. And of that group, just to give you some idea, 10 of them are there for homicides, the other 10 are there for serious sexual or physical assaults. They all, majority of that group have orders which put them beyond the year 2000 before they can even be reviewed for possible return to the community. So we're talking about individuals that have, are going to be there for, you know, long periods of time. If you want to put it, it's a long-term correctional setting, basically, for those individuals.
Senator Larson?
How many of that group are repeat offenders? Do you know?
I couldn't give you that that information at this point. I certainly couldn't look at that.
Okay, any other questions on the commission? Without objection, the figures approved. And the letter of intent. Regional admin.
Mr. Chairman, on page 214, I'll move the figure of 891.6. And I'd like Mike just to explain why this is above the governor's amendment.
Essentially, it says move down to $250,000 community support money from the state. So the funding source on federal receipts is increased by 150%. Okay, the department agrees with that?
They, what we did, we'd ask the department to come up with any new sources of federal funds prior to the governor's budget being reduced, and this was one they came up with.
Okay. Harborview.